Curiosity.
What are you so curious about?
Everything.
Mr. Curiosity.
So, folks, I'm with the amazing Rob Ray, but it's funny. He looked down at my bell.
And bodacious.
Okay, I'm with the bodacious Rob Rave.
Yes.
But you looked down at my bell right here, yes. And you said, what's this?
Yeah, what's this? You get bored with what I'm saying, and you hit that, and that I'm cut off? Is that what happens?
No. This, if at any moment you feel uncomfortable, I'm asking you something that you don't want to answer, I stepped over the line.
We'll be using, I'll just keep this close. So, go ahead. What?
You hit that, and I immediately just shut up. That's the rule.
Is that
a good deal?
Okay. I wish I had this years ago. Years ago.
Well, maybe we should start there, because I want to tell everyone the relationship of Rob and myself. Now, I think it was 2003.
Four. Here's exactly what you said to me.
Okay.
First time I meet you, okay? We're out there. We're about to go live. First time I'm on live TV. And
this
is
no joke.
No, you turn to me and you say, you know, I don't like you.
I did not say
you did.
That. Why would I say that?
And you said, well, because management's making me have you out here. You're on my show. You know, what? Why do I have to go through this? What are you, some big deal?
What did I say to you?
I said, that's okay, because I don't like you either. And then from that point on, we were buddies. So that's how that all happened.
Well, the truth is, yeah. So this was 2004. Yeah. I started here full time in 1999. So I was still in my 30s, and we were having fun in the backyard. And then all of a sudden, management said, "Okay, we're gonna redo the backyard," and they said we're gonna bring in a landscaper, and he is a part of the deal. And you may know more than me, of course you do about this. A part of the deal is
you have to be nice to me.
No, is that we're gonna have him in the backyard with you once a month. And probably you then got that was kind of payment for doing the landscaping, right? I don't know how this works.
Partially, yeah.
But anyway, so I'm thinking, this is so fake. I have to have some landscaper in the backyard.
Didn't we just go over this?
Yeah.
Didn't I just say all this?
I want you to know my feeling, because okay. I felt it wasn't genuine.
Is this all we're going to talk about our feelings?
No, we're not. But I felt like I had to have this guy, and it's a company thing, and I don't really want him in the backyard. But it all worked out, and you're a great guy.
See, there you go.
All right, so let's go way. We got that out of the way.
Yes.
And still, no.
Not yet.
Let's go way back. I'm talking way back. When I was a kid, growing up, I would always hear the Rave name.
Right.
Rave Landscaping. Rave something in Clark Summit. There was like a patio furniture place. It was always Rave, Rave, Rave. So I got this impression, and this is probably a chip on the shoulder I have. Whenever there's like this rich name and they have businesses all over, I'm like, who do they think they are? So that's why I had that, because my whole life I was Rave, 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 Rave. It was almost like if someone said Exxon Oil is coming in the backyard. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're close to getting wrong here, okay? Okay?
So let's go back. Who started the whole Rave empire?
My uncle Lou and my father, Bob, started the business back in 1950.
1950.
Right. And garden center, if you're familiar at all with the Dallas area, it's right where Caddy LaBar's is.
Okay.
And that was, they had their little garden center there, and then they moved down the highway just a little ways, and there was a pool place down on the other side of the road there, and that was actually where I grew up. Right on the other side of the highway there. And it's kind of, I don't know what's there now. But
so this is your father and his brother.
Yeah.
But to date this, because I know how old you were born in 55, 56,
yes,
something
55,
like that.
Yes, 55, right.
So you're just 5-6 years old.
Right.
Your whole life, there's already been your, what did your dad do before that?
He was in the service. They were in the service, and then he got married. And then, you know, when they came back from the service, they, you know, went to college.
So how old was he when he had you? Do you know? I mean, did you ever?
I think 35, I think.
So he was in World War II?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was over in Italy. My uncle was over in the New Guinea area.
And, really?
Yeah, he was a bombardier.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
So these two guys from the area, what did their, do you know what your grandfather, what was he all about?
Well, my grandfather on the Rave side was a jeweler. He had a jewelry shop down in Plymouth.
I don't see you doing jewelry.
No, that didn't work out.
So the Raves we're talking about that started this business, there's a war the war ends. They come back.
Right.
And how do you say, let's start?
Well, my uncle actually, he ended up becoming a caretaker for a big, large estate property. Because when he went to school, for some reason, he took horticulture at Penn State. And so he came back, and I mean, there was no money around, and he did all his horticultural stuff there, and then he started his own business. And then my father joined him the next year, and they did a retail garden center. And then just to make it a little bit quicker on the stores, is so from there it evolved into they built a store. They found a location up in Clark Summit. We had one in Clark Summit.
They started in Dallas, you're saying, but then. Because I want to slow you down a little bit.
Yeah.
This guy gets a degree in horticulture, your uncle?
Right.
From
And my father got one in business.
But I'm still trying, like, how do you just do it? Why do you just do that? How do you?
I don't know.
You're only 4 or 5, 6 years old. You don't know what the heck's going on.
True.
But your dad's starting this business. Your uncle's always there. They're talking. You see big bucks going back and forth, all this money.
Yeah, and I love when you say that. You know where those big bucks go? Because, I mean, you have payroll. You have business insurance. You have all these different things.
I got it.
And by the way, you get to work about 90 hours a week. Oh, and then when you're not working, you think about it all the time. Where you are out riding a bike. I know it's hard for you to understand, but that's kind of where it is, okay? So what do you want me to say?
No, I'm just trying. So was this – when you were – you? I want honesty now, or you can ring the bell. Were you – so you're 5, 6 years old. The business is starting. Your dad's always out. He's landscaping. He's got trucks. He's got vehicles. Were you brought up when you were, say, 10, 15, you're in high school? Were you like the wealthy kid in the area? Like, how did all that
work? No.
You were given a new car when you were 16?
What is wrong with you, seriously?
Well, I'm just wondering, because Rave was a big empire. Maybe still is.
Yeah, but
know.
You had to build it from all these different the locations. They built a larger garden center in Shavertown. Yeah, let's see. It was maybe I was 10 or 12.
Okay.
And that's when things started going pretty well. And we had we opened up another location in Clark Summit.
60s, 70s now?
60s. Yeah. 60s, late 60s, early 70s. I graduated from high school 73. So at that point, we had four stores. We had one in Ashley. We had just opened that.
So you can't say that when you graduate high school in 1973 and you're a big senior and you know your uncle and your dad, they have all these stores all over, you didn't think, oh, my goodness, how am I going to make a living? You thought, oh, this is great. I have a cushion to just bounce on here.
Yeah, because you don't have to work at all. It's nice. You just sit around and do nothing all day, which is really pretty much what I do. What are you, insane?
No, but you're thinking my dad's just going to give me money. I'm just going to drive the company truck.
Actually, well, it's a long story.
All right, so
I won't get into all the details, but my last year at college,
What made you want to the business from your dad and your uncle made you think I want to major in horticulture?
Well, I mean, as growing up, I was out there watering roses. We used to have 25,000 roses, hybrid roses. That was a big thing way back in the 60s, 70s. So my brother and I would have to – we were in charge of weeding them and watering them and doing
that
kind of stuff. But I was always intrigued with the landscape end of it, which my uncle did. And I don't know exactly what made me get into it. I had a vegetable garden. I was like the nerd.
What do you mean like?
In 10th grade, 11th grade, I had a big vegetable garden. And I was in the watching the stuff grow and all that stuff. And then
Then
I started like re-landscaping our yard. And my father's like, yeah, well, go ahead and do whatever you got to do. And I was doing that. But I was more intrigued with the landscape end as opposed to the retail end. So.
See, well, you're another example. We talk about this often on the podcast of people following their passions. You're in 10th grade. You're watering roses and landscaping around your house. I have a backyard weather station. You see how destiny just sets it up? These avenues?
Amazing.
Yeah. And then you go to college, big Penn State guy.
Well, so here's a good story from that. So right. I was out at the Lehman campus, and I'm a freshman. And, of course, I'm getting chemistry, and I'm getting the different algebras and all these different things. And also, now they want me to take electives out there. And it's like in philosophy. And I did one in, I forget what it was, similar to philosophy. Well, that makes it was philosophy.
That makes us well-rounded individuals.
Well, I don't want to waste my electives on that. I want to know about insects. I want to know about plant diseases. So I drove down to Penn State.
Pests, pollination. You wanted to know all that.
All that stuff. Different plants. Learn all these different plants. It was a sickness. But anyway, so I drive down to Penn State. And I go to I asked to see the dean of horticulture.
Yeah.
So I go up in this guy's office, and I said, listen, I'm up at Lehman, and I want to come down here next year. I'm wasting my electives up there. I want to get down and do my electives down here in all these different categories. And is there any way you can do anything? And he goes, sure. And the next year I was down, I got down to main campus, and I loved it down there. I was down for 3 years.
But you chipped away at some of the electives. They can't do that anymore. You still have to take all.
Oh, no, you can take electives, but you have a choice of the different.
Oh, I see. You wanted more diversity.
Well, I wanted more related stuff to what I'm trying to learn.
Gotcha. Well, with a degree in horticulture, they're going to spin you in that direction anyway. So you didn't have to do that on your own. I'm sure it was a part of the curriculum.
Yeah, but philosophy, come on. Seriously.
My first class as a meteorology major was art history, and I'm thinking, what the heck am I doing here?
Exactly. And I could have gotten something like that, too.
Yeah, but yet I loved it. And now I can say I know Frank Lloyd Wright, and I know all of his works.
I don't know all his works, but he's very good.
And I can pick out a Liechtenstein, and you can't.
Who cares?
Okay, so back to you. I'm just kidding. So you're out of college now? But first of all, when you're in college— Did you say you went to main campus or you stayed?
Well, when I was a sophomore, I went to
main campus. Give us Rob Rave at main campus.
That's the biggest nerd ever.
Were you a party animal?
I was up in the...
Women all over?
No. I was studying all the time.
You were a nerd?
I was a nerd.
Yeah. No frat.
Well, I met some guys at the. We had to stay at the dormitories, which we have dormitories.
I can't see you in a dorm. I don't know.
Well,
why.
No, and I had a roommate, a guy from back here, and I instantly hated the guy. Okay,
that never works out.
And
the whole
it's
dorm
funny. Thing. And by the end of the season, it's like we couldn't wait to break up, so to speak.
Yeah.
As I met these other guys, we were going to get an apartment. And he ended up being a real close friend of mine after that. So we just couldn't live together, apparently.
No, the whole dorm thing when you're forced with some other human being, it never works out. You're in this 10 by 10
we get this apartment, and it's
nine. Did you have a beard back then?
Yeah.
You've always had all right. Yeah. So you get an apartment, you're a bearded man.
Well, no, and we're 16 blocks out from Penn State. So, I mean, every morning I either had to walk that or ride a bike. And so, every day you have a nice long walk. And all my classes were on the other side of campus. But I got hooked up with these guys from Allentown, and it was funny because at the time you could put $100 together.
Yeah.
And four guys could live off it.
Oh, yeah.
And it was when the swine flu thing was going on, and you could get pork chops for like $2.40. You get like 15 of them. And so we would have pork chops like every 3 days. I can't eat them now. Okay, that was from my college experience.
Did you think of all those?
I didn't even drink.
You didn't.
I did not even drink until I was 21.
I don't believe you. So you were a nerd.
Yes,
I mean
I've kind of gone the other way now.
So this is in the late 70s.
78.
Yeah, there's like disco. Did you have disco?
First place I got drunk.
Where?
On the wall at Penn State, when they call it the wall, down below the library.
Okay.
And I'm sitting there with...
You're 21 or like
20? I'm 21, okay. I'm 21. And my buddy's bringing me out. He goes, you got to drink. I mean, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And so I have this paper bag with a mix of gin and bitter lemons.
Like a wino on the streets
with
a paper bag?
Yeah, well, no, but
bag?
there were other of us there. Okay. All right. And so we did that, and I think I ended up getting sick and said, I really enjoyed doing this, and so I continued. But it made no sense at the time. But
so alcohol was never your thing. You knew that?
At that time, yes.
Women all over. You're a stud on campus.
I was
dating a lot of girls. Still single, of course, or no?
I was already engaged once.
In college?
In college.
Who are you?
It's engaged once, okay?
How do you get engaged when you're in college?
Well, I thought, we'll get married, you know, after I maybe make some money. And yeah. she thought, no, let's get married right away. It just didn't work out. And I want to go to Penn State, learn about bugs and plants and stuff.
Okay, okay.
I have my priorities. So.
Late 70s, rock and roll is peaking. Forget about disco. Are you going to concerts? Are you going to see Jethro Tull? Are you going to see Genesis? What are you doing?
That Genesis, Jethro Tull. That was...
That's your kind of thing.
The Who. Yes.
I love progressive rock.
You're right.
Classic rock.
Yeah. And my brother, actually, my brother Scott, who you met, he is very much into music, and he actually got me going all these different bands.
He's older or younger?
Younger.
Yeah.
Younger. But he, you know, he always, he's recording all this stuff. He has a drum set up, you would never think this, up at his house. And he has a room up there, and it's almost like a soundproof room, and he has his drum set up there, and he plays the drums to that different intricate music like that.
Rob,
so he's up there going nuts. Can you see him going nuts?
No, and because he's like a quiet
guy. It's a totally different animal.
Could he be hiding from his wife? I mean, could that be a part
of it? I don't think so. He's not like you.
Because we all have those
places. Why don't you go for a nice long bike ride?
Hey, we all have to get away. There's you. There's your brother. There's sisters, too.
Oh, yeah. My sister, Holly. You've met her.
Yes.
Once, I think. She is now... has a casual furniture store in Dallas, and she also has a location out where we are in Dallas.
No, but I'm thinking back then. So there's two sisters or what?
Two sisters.
Two sisters and two brothers.
My sister Kathy was denied to get into the business. She was she's actually at College of Missicordia as part of administrative whatever.
So when you're in college and you're going horticulture and your brother is – what is he studying in college? Is he?
Well, he ended up taking the 2-year course down there, which was a little bit different in horticulture, and then he went he took business after that at King's.
And when you come home for Christmas, Thanksgiving, whatever, are you always thinking your parents are saying to you, "We want you to take over the business"? Is that like the vibe that's going, or like how do you?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't remember at the time.
Well, like, the thing is, my dad was more oriented to the retail end, and. The retail end was fine, and I did get involved with it, but I really the part that I like the most is going and looking at a house or looking at a project and coming up with, okay, these plants need to go here. And
he didn't do that?
No, my uncle did. Well, actually, my uncle, he did it, but it was more – we were mainly doing commercial work at the time. That was right after the flood, 72.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's all this big commercial work where it was union wages and –
So it's a big operation. I'm picturing like dump trucks, excavators.
Oh, yeah, there were like 30 guys. There were 30 guys.
It was a big deal.
It was a big deal.
Your dad's walking around brand new Buick.
The part you don't understand about business is you make money, but you got to spend a lot of money, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So
it doesn't just happen.
I understand it. Your dad is in the trenches. He's doing a lot of stuff.
Well, he's doing more of the retail. He ran the stores pretty much. My uncle was more on the other end of that, doing the commercial landscaping. But at the time, I mean, that's when these big, high rises were going up. You know, everything was flooded down here.
Yeah, so they redid the whole thing, and you're a part of it.
Well, so I come out of college, and I don't want to do that because, first of all, there's a landscape architect telling me what to do. Okay, right. And I'm sorry, most of them don't know what they're doing.
Whoa!
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, you did. I'm doing this for all the landscape architecture people out there.
When coming to picking plants.
Okay.
Picking the right plant for the right spot, yep. Which is the key to all this stuff.
All right.
So I come out of there, and the guys, if they're working on these commercial jobs, they're getting, at the time, $12 an hour, which was big money.
Sure.
Because it was all union. But then if they worked... regular, like a residential job, they were getting $3.30. That's what they were getting paid, the best guys. Okay, so I'm coming out of college, and I want these guys to do more residential stuff at like no pay, and they of course didn't want to work for me.
What do you mean by you though? The family business or this?
Yeah,
the branch?
Well, I was trying to take doing the residential landscape, and that's what I wanted to do, and so. We started doing this, and I'll never forget this. We got a trailer load of sod came, and I had all these guys that got pulled off a union job, and they're working for $3.30 for me. The guys were making less than that, some of the other guys.
Yeah.
And here's the big thing of sod. And this guy, the head guy, just looked at me, and they took lunch, and they weren't going to go back to work. And so I just said, you know what? And I just started going over and grabbing the sod off and laying it down. And for about an hour, I did it all alone. Then after that, everything was fine. And also, I was the guy that made it so that they started making money and they got raises as opposed to where it was.
But at the same time, you're like a 22, 3-year-old punk out of college.
Right. They know everything. Yeah.
They know your dad runs the business. I'd be like, who is this guy?
Exactly. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And I learned more probably my first year working out there with these guys.
Yeah.
In that capacity.
Oh, look, there's daddy's little boy telling us what to do, bossing everybody around.
They saw me moving around. Okay. It wasn't like I was pulling and giving orders and leaving.
Gotcha. So, what is your mom doing when all this is happening? Is she like just a homemaker kind of woman?
She was, yeah.
She was?
Yeah.
You going home, there's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, turkey dinner, all that stuff.
No, she used to lay my clothes out for me. I was the biggest nerd ever. You know, now here's even the best thing. When I graduated... I'm here at the graduation ceremony, right?
Yeah.
You seem like a cool guy.
I was in sports, so that saved me. Other than that, I was a nerd.
All right.
And so they're handing out awards, all these different awards. I get an award, best dressed. I have to go up in front of all these kids. There's 140 of us there.
Well, because you were a preppy rich kid.
No. Well, no. My mother laid out all my stuff.
Okay.
So it's a best dress award. Can you imagine coming back with your little medal for that? Okay.
Embarrassing.
No, then I got the good citizenship award, too.
Rob.
So I was like, everyone's like, whoa.
Yeah. I mean, I could see why then later in life you busted out, and now you're this rebellious.
It may be more tolerant of like individuals such as yourself. That's one of the things I did learn as I followed my medal of citizenship.
This bearded rebel that you've become. Okay, so now we're through the 70s, we're in the 80s.
Right.
The family business is thriving. There's a ski loft in Clark Summit or something. I don't know. What is that? Your sister's doing that, or who's doing that?
No, that was my idea, too.
You start a ski.
Well, I'm like, hey, what are we going to do in the off season? Let's open up a ski shop. That was really brilliant.
Why? It didn't work out?
Well, first of all, it never snowed, I say, for 3 years.
Well, what is this? What are we talking?
No, we started as a cross-country ski shop.
What year are we in here? Is it 80s or not?
Yeah, it was early 80s, somewhere in there.
Early, okay.
Yeah, I talked my uncle and my father to let me open at Shavertown.
Yeah.
And we did just cross-country skiing. And, of course, if you don't have snow, no one's even into that. And at the time, no one was into doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But my buddies and I liked to cross-country ski. And you ever probably heard of Uncle Eyeballs?
No.
Well, there was a shop down Wilkes-Barre called Uncle Eyeballs. And this guy was backpacking, but he had these skis. And
I thought it was
the greatest thing ever. So we started doing that. We were selling some skis, and we were selling, like, wool sweaters and wool socks. And it really wasn't working out. And then we're like, okay, well, we need to supplement this with downhill skiing. So we started getting into that. And, of course, that was the biggest snob industry in the world.
Whoa.
It was at the time.
That's how I still feel now. A lot of snobs in skiing.
We wanted to carry these different ski lines, and they're not going to. First of all, I go and say, well, you know, we have three garden centers, and we like to have a ski shop.
Yeah.
And can we carry your skis? Well, I can understand why, you know, maybe they didn't take us very seriously. But we were the first ones to carry Patagonia, which
Snobby.
Was that stuff's great. Are you kidding me?
It
lasts forever. I should get a commission for saying that, but I mean,
but this didn't work out. You're saying basically the ski thing did not work out.
Well, it didn't snow enough. No, it didn't. And in fact, now it's kind of tough. There's not that many ski shops around because everybody's buying from the internet,
which
means that, you know, you've got to, with your business, you got to keep changing. And if you don't, I mean, what happened with our garden centers? Here comes Lowe's.
Here comes
Home Depot.
The late 80s. Here's Home Depot. Here's Lowe's. Here, pick up your own rhododendrons for $20 each.
And we used to do a big job with Christmas. I mean, that was one of our amazing things that we did. We set up our stores with all the different Christmas trees and all the, you know, we started like in July of the year, you know.
These trees.
No, not to grow them. To set up our garden centers to make it look as it should in November. And but then, you know, now you can buy Christmas lights anywhere. You can buy you go to the CVS or you go to any of these pharmacies and you can buy all this stuff.
But look at it from the consumer's point of view. There's more options and cheaper options for them. Forget about you, wealthy business.
Well, that's
business
exactly
tycoons.
Right. And so they would come in and they would. Get, well, anyway, don't get me started.
No,
at that point we had 70 employees, 70 people,
and now.
Well, now it's will drastically change, and okay. The whole concept changed.
We'll get to the current time in a second. So this is interesting. So the rave ski thing does not work out. That folds in two, three,
well,
4 years.
No, actually, it worked. It just it wasn't profitable enough. And then eventually, I kind of gave it to my sister to do. And so my sister Holly, and so she did it for a while, and she's a very good downhill skier. I'm more of a cross-country telemark guy.
Because you can't downhill. You have a limited skills.
No, I can downhill.
Okay. I got to tell you this story.
You want to race me sometimes?
No, I don't like skiing. I want to tell you this story.
Did you ever ski?
I used to ski a lot back in high school to go up and be social. And okay. As we would say back then, are you ready? Pick up chicks.
Yeah, okay. Good, whatever.
That didn't work too good.
Yeah, at least I admitted that I was a nerd, okay? I mean, seriously. By the way, we shouldn't even get into you.
No, I was and still am a cool guy. But let's go back. I wanted to tell you this one story. In the 90s, I'm just married, and my wife said, let's get patio furniture. So we go up to this place in Clark Summit called Rave's. Give me the word here. Patio?
Rave Nursery.
Rave. Well, they had patio furniture.
Right.
So I remember we looked at this one set. One chair was like $300.
Right.
And I said, honey, let's get out of here. And then we went to like JCPenney and got a whole set for $299. Yeah. Now, I know what you're going to say.
And how long did that last?
I got you. But my point is.
So just because you are a cheap, you know what?
No.
Is this what you're trying to preach?
No,
and
I'm
thanks,
not.
Let's talk about it, about while I'm talking about my business. Like, oh, why would you go there? Because the stuff lasts forever.
I'm not saying that, and I don't want to offend you. I'm just saying
too late.
You get better quality stuff, whether it's I can get a bike at Kmart
exactly.
for $30 and I buy $4,000. I get that. But what I'm saying is, so when did the patio furniture, was that always there or that just?
Oh, yeah. That was huge.
Oh, that was huge.
That was a large part of our business, yeah.
Well, when did that happen? Was that the same time
that
as the ski
that
thing?
Was in, that was in the 70s, late 70s, mid-70s. It got quite large.
Oh, and then when did that end?
Well, 2004.
So that existed all
those years.
2004,
we got rid of the stores.
Oh.
And at the same time, we worked out the deal with Channel 16 to do the backyard. And that's also made the major transition to what I was doing, which was residential landscaping. We turned just residential landscaping. And
so all these stores closed down. Not closed down, but
right.
Did you own them? Did you rent
them?
We
owned them. We owned them.
So they're sold. Are there...
And we sold them.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that so was up in Clark Center.
Well,
right?
We had our landscape base out there, and a wholesale. We had a wholesale plant center.
Yeah,
but we changed it to a retail and wholesale plant center, and that's what we have today. It's all residential. But in 2004, we made that change.
When you sold all these places, why didn't you just take the money? Sit around,
I'm an
in,
idiot.
Your, sit around
no,
in your underwear in Dallas, count it all, and then
there
say,
wasn't enough.
This
first,
is
first
it.
Of all, there wasn't
I'm set for life.
There wasn't enough, but I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that.
No,
and then
maybe I should have done it. Okay, but I'd rather do what I do, which is insane if you really think about it.
Nah, you're passionate about it. When did your dad get out of this? I remember, I don't want to get too emotional here, but make you emotional, but I attended his funeral, had to be 6-7 years ago. Is that that long? 10 years
no,
ago?
No, yeah, longer.
10
than
years
that,
ago,
yeah.
Okay. So
Eventually, we had to take his keys off him. My uncle, too, had to take his skis off him, too.
Is that right? Meaning they don't want to quit. They want to keep going. And
right. Oh, no. He'd be at the stores, and he'd see, the one store maybe have a bunch of wreaths, and the other store didn't have any, so he'd throw them in his truck and
is
take them
right?
up. Yeah,
that old school business mentality.
Yeah, yeah.
Was
he
a nice guy like you?
He was great. He's
yeah. So now it's you're taking over. Are you like the big man since the 2000s? Like it's you mainly you because then Holly pulled out, I think, right? And now it's just you. It's Rob Rave.
And,
you should
and
just
my
call
brother
it
Scott. He runs the plant center. He does most of that stuff,
but
we work together on all those different things. But the landscape end is all me.
You ever think of changing the name to King Rob or like Tycoon Raves Linescaping.
That's like Emperor, more like Raves Bodacious something or other. Bodacious plans at bodacious prices.
I got to ask you, when you found the lovely Mrs. Rave, Peggy, when did that happen?
And we got married in 87.
What?
87.
I didn't know 32 that.
32 years, yeah.
87.
Yeah.
So at the time, you're working for the dad. She's like, look at this bearded stud. Look at him with his shirt
exactly
off.
Exactly what she said.
Look at him digging holes, sweaty. Look at those biceps. Is that what happened? Did you start dating?
I don't know. She obviously had a very large problem. Okay.
She does or I do.
Yeah, I don't know. It was funny. It's our first date. I had this little pickup truck.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to be classy. So I went and I went to get a rental car. Well, I was busy. I was working. And at last minute, I go get a rental car. All there is a Chevy Nova. So I show up with a Chevy Nova trying to be cool.
You didn't want to take a pickup truck. You rent a Chevy Nova.
Well, and we went out to a play, and we had a real nice dinner, and I brought roses. I could only afford one of these every month, okay? The next date, though, was with kayaks and on the river. So that we got that back into where I thought we should be, and we just hit it off.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And then here you are, decades later. Now, I sensed—
Putting up Christmas.
You two have been together with my wife and myself, so
yes.
I get this sense of your relationship, and I think she kind of bosses you around. I'll say that right now.
You know, the first 4 years of marriage, I thought that I was right.
Yeah.
And I'm never right. She is always right. And even if she's wrong, she's right because it's just better that way, okay?
So what do you mean? You just think it's an easier path of least
resistance? No, she has.
Is this going to come off as sexist to the women out there listening? Because my wife has beaten me down, too.
Because I'm sitting here talking to you, they know how tolerant I am, okay? And she's awesome. But she's right. And if it wasn't for her, I'd probably be dead because sometimes I have no sense.
I see. No, I feel the same way about my wife. She's awesome. But here's an example. My wife has gone away this weekend. She told me to put up the tree.
Yeah.
That means I bring
it. I heard your whole routine.
Well, does your wife do this? So I'm going to put it up. And I guarantee you when she comes home, she's going to say, could you move it 6 inches to the left? Or it's too close to the wall. Now, why do they do this? This is what I need to know.
It is a sickness. It is something you need to live with. Okay.
It is because just, I would
because
never.
Why complain about it? It's going to happen.
Okay,
just do it and shut up.
So you laugh at guys like me who continually put up this fight. Like just give in.
Right.
Like why?
Now I put the tree. I help her with a lot of stuff, but because she loves to do it.
Yeah,
it's one of the things she really loves.
But she'll find little idiosyncrasies with you and point out your flaws. Correct.
True.
Yeah, and that's what my wife does. But I don't do that to her. I don't think.
No, like, are you wearing that? Where are you going looking like that?
Yes. I would never say that to her, but she'll say that to me.
And say, well, fine. What do you want me to
wear?
I don't care.
It doesn't
matter to me. Okay, I mean, I'm not working. It does matter. I have to be functional. You got to have my long underwear on right now. You got to be dressed right. So you're outside. You're doing stuff.
Yeah.
But when you're going out, you got to look halfway decent, and she's better at it than I am, so whatever.
Last night, we went out to eat. You know how they bring that little pre-bread thing? There's a little bread. So I reach over, I rip a piece off, and I go to eat it. And then she says, and pushes a little mini plate in front of me.
I know.
Now, why did she do that? Why can't I just eat the bread without the plate?
Here's what's worse. Why do they have small forks next to the – there's a small fork, your salad fork.
Yeah.
I don't use that. I never use that. I only use the big fork. But why have the small fork? I mean, you know, seriously. Now, apparently it only bothers me, but...
No, I see the small fork bothers me, too.
See, there you go.
But here we are happily married, and we just go along with it.
Exactly.
And if they were here talking about us, I'm sure they'd have many problems
those idiots.
Caveman Rob, Caveman Joe.
I don't know what's wrong with them.
What do you hate about, now, landscapers, the weekend warriors like me? Like,
nothing.
Let's say I want some plants around my house. Instead of calling a landscaper and doing it right, I'm going to go to Lowe's. I'm going to go to Home Depot. I'm going to get some rhododendron, some bayberries, and I'm just going to go do it myself. You hate that, don't you?
Well, first of all, we have a do-it-yourself program where where you can go do all the labor, but come in and let us do a little sketch so you don't put the wrong plants in the wrong spot.
Folks, I want you to know I didn't set them up. I really said that question.
But the point is you should have a plan.
Okay.
even if you're going to do it yourself, do a little research, but know how big the plant's going to get. Know when it's going to bloom. What you know, what kind of fall color you're going to have. All these things you should be thinking about when you're putting your little landscape. The thing you don't want to put it in because it's a pain in the butt. It's a lot of work. Okay, you put it in, and then 5 years later, you're going to rip it out because it's not right.
I do that all the time. I know I'm an idiot with that stuff.
And all you have to do is call me, and I'll do a little sketch for you so you don't mess it up.
But then I feel like you're going to drop an invoice on me, and I'm afraid of
Yeah, you know, that's the part of it. I do have to charge for what I do. I know you don't think I have to do that, but I do.
When you do landscaping projects now, you'll do anything from commercial to just some guy?
Mainly residential. I'll do commercial if we can, if we can design, build it.
My question is, and I am not trying to go back to the woman thing, but I'm wondering, is it mainly, do the ladies make the decisions? Do they say, I want this here and the guy? Be honest. Depends. There's a lot of variation.
The ladies are going to pay more attention to this plant is going to get this big and it's going to have this color flower and, it's going to happen in May, where we got this one over here is going to happen in June and we have a progression of bloom. They want to hear all that stuff.
And that's
what our specialty is, having it in all these different bloom times. The guy wants to, you know, for the most part, he wants the idea. And once he sees where it's going and sees some pictures of kind of, and then they'll kind of look at, you know, if they say, okay, how much?
The guys are the money.
Right. It's how much, you know, what are we going to do? Well, we can't do that. What can we do to get it where we got to get it? But the key is have a plan.
Have a plan.
Get your plan together.
But some people don't even know where to begin. That's why they need you. They just see
we don't even charge for you. Come in our place and bring in your pictures and your measurements. Right there, we come up with a sketch of what of your area, and we do a lot of that.
I know you do, and you do darn good work. And one of the curses of Rob Rave, you told me until this very moment now, since we had this relationship since 2004, is what? You're associated with me now forever? Is that pretty much? That's a cross
you have to bear. What it is? I go into, say, like a Walmart.
Yeah, there you are.
And Walmart. It's like,
what are you buying in Walmart?
It's like
hemorrhoid medication, toilet paper.
Sometimes.
Okay, so you're in Walmart.
They have
the
bigger
supply.
Big box. No, and I get, hey, you're that guy. Now, how does that help my business? Does that help my business?
Or worse,
they go, oh, you're that guy. With Snedeker. Yeah, Snedeker's great. He's great. But you're that guy that, stands there and holds his microphone? What am I doing? I mean, why are they going to buy plants from me? That's all I want to do. I just want to sell some plants.
Well, could you help Sean and I out understanding, or is this top secret? And maybe I'm going to get in trouble for asking. Why do you do all this for WNEP? Is it like you get commercial time?
It's a sickness. No. No, as far as I'm concerned, that's my backyard.
Okay.
And by the way, someone planted a couple plants there that was unauthorized, and I do not like that kind of crap.
Was it Kurt Aaron? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was.
So do you charge us or no? Or you don't want to say? Am I getting?
We're not going to get into what we do, okay? However, it's a good relationship for both of us.
That was his finger on there, not mine.
And I get to spend some time with you, which, what a bonus that is.
Yes! And I will say this, since Rob and I had become friends back 10 years ago, we play ice hockey together up until just a year or two ago when we stopped, because all of the friends now have, I don't know, gotten too old, whatever the case is. Yeah. But this guy is a heck of a hockey player, I'll tell you that.
I am.
Especially for an old dude.
I showed these guys how to actually play hockey.
You got a great reach. You got a great stride. You got some good shots.
I am quite amazing. Yes.
Yeah, you really are. Yeah. And you grew up like I did, playing pond hockey.
Exactly.
Like, you know, just real men.
There wasn't even
a
rink. There wasn't even a rink around.
No rink. You get sticks from the woods, and it looks like a hockey stick, and you say, oh, it's got an L-shaped bottom. This is what we're going to do. And then you hit a beer can. That's how you do it.
Right. Fill a beer can with water.
Yeah.
And fill it to freeze.
And then we became these pros that we are now.
Exactly.
So is there anything?
But I got to say, it was also fun playing with your guys. You know, all these guys from Simpson who have, you know, no one has their own normal name. They all have nicknames. You got Mooney, you got Speezy, you got Skinhead, you got, it's like, what, and then one guy, I forget who it was, he's got like three different names. And it's like, so
TikTok.
I didn't
talk.
And of course, the first time I play with you guys, you bring me along, and he goes, yeah, this guy, you know, Ray, he wants to play with us, whatever.
We immediately accepted you, though.
You don't introduce me to anybody. I have no idea who I'm playing with. And I, you know, for like five games, I don't even know anybody's name.
I'm not
and
an introduced
and all I wanted to do is play
guy.
Some ice hockey.
Yeah. But now you've grown to love us all.
Yes, that's true.
Well, when people think I'm weird and then they see all the people I grew up with, they simply go, oh, I get it now. I thought everyone was like us. Just bizarre. You make fun of each other. You have fun. There's nicknames. You don't take anything serious.
Right.
And then the real world comes in and I see.
Well, that is unfortunate.
It's unfortunate, right?
Yes.
So what are you doing today? After this, after I drop the end button on this thing, like let's hear a typical Rob Rave day. Don't lie.
Well, we start
count
out
count money,
today.
Make deposits.
Well, we start out this morning.
Have caviar.
Can I talk now?
Okay.
So this morning we get up. And Randy Bond and I, my landscape architect, the guy, a very talented guy, can draw, and he's very precise. Measurement-wise, okay? And we're doing this project up in Clark Summit, and it's got a cabana, and it's going to have a hot tub, it's going to have a pool, and it's going to have a stream. And all these things in this backyard, you know, the grades are unbelievable as far as trying to figure it all out. And so our installer guy is, you know, it's starting to do our boulder wall and doing these other things, and we're laying that all out. So that's what we did this morning, just checking everything, make sure the measurements are right, and make sure they're on the right track, how the wall's going, and I left my guy there to continue once those guys get there to get it rolling. And we, but problem is it's all mud.
But
it's
what are you saying? You go and inspect all these job sites.
Right.
But you're not the guy, are you, with
digging the
shovel?
Hole. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Depends.
A typical wake-up time is what for you, though?
4.
You're 4 a.m., you're up.
Yeah. Now it's like 5.
5. And then you're at the job site every day or at least doing something. You're at the office.
I'm at the office usually by 5. First people start coming at 6.
So all day you're out, you're looking at job sites, you're getting estimates, you're meeting people.
Right.
And let's say you have no work one day and you're home all day with your wife. Does it get weird? Is it like you're stepping on her territory?
First of all, I don't think that ever happens.
Okay, it never happens.
If I had a day like that, I would be on my boat.
Oh,
which
okay.
I only saw 5 times this year. I mean,
but it's winter, there's no boats.
No, I understand that. Well, we're going to hike. Like right now, we're going to hike. Of course,
you're
now it's
hike.
hunting season.
Yeah.
So whatever. But
yeah.
I liked hiking. Love hiking.
So this is it. Hiking, work, you go home.
Well, cross-country skiing, but I haven't put that all together yet.
And you and I want to do this before we end right now. Let's show bank accounts who has more money in them, and I guarantee you.
Yeah, I might be close.
No, I guarantee you, yours is like swollen, and mine's in the negative.
Yeah, and
three kids in college.
How many hours a week do you work?
3 kids in college, pushy wife. I go home, it's do this, Joe. It's everyone just pulling on me from different directions.
Yeah, well, I have that too. And so what? What is your issue? It's what you choose to
just
do.
Just admit.
You choose to, you know, not, I don't know.
I just want you to admit that you are a wealthy socialite.
Let me say this. Okay?
You won't. Here we go.
Any possible money I do have, I busted my butt for, okay? And that's part of what you got to do. And fortunately, I love doing what I'm doing. But it ain't easy. I mean, you never had to make a payroll. I mean, the thing is, your payroll.
No, you gotta, I get it. I'm just, you know, I'm kidding. I'm busting you.
I know.
I will admit this about Rob Rave. I respect. When I see you, you're driving a 10 or 15 year old Honda Ridgeline?
Well, I just sold
pickup
that.
Truck.
I just got a new one.
Wow.
15 years.
15 years. You had
350,000 miles on it. It was amazing. No, I still have it in the fleet.
You
it's
really
awesome.
Don't.
It's still
that
still
truck
working.
Has 350,000 miles.
My wife thought I was going to get stranded somewhere, so I finally had to get a new one. And by the way, this new one has all these new things.
Oh, you have a new Honda Ridgeline?
Yeah.
Oh,
amazing.
So
amazing.
I love it. I'm a Honda guy.
Well,
so I appreciate
in the back,
it.
Put all my stuff in. It's perfect.
It's smaller, isn't it? It seems smaller.
It's a little smaller, but right. it's a great work truck for me. Perfect. But yeah, that was my big thing this year. I had a
this
hard time.
This is a big moment. I didn't realize. New truck.
Yeah.
Now, did you and your wife go on a little date ski in that thing and maybe a little movie theater, maybe a little arm around, you know, kissy-kissy?
What, in the truck?
Yeah.
Well, no, she has a car. We take that. It's much nicer than the truck.
Mercedes?
No, it's not a Mercedes. It's SUV. And Mercedes doesn't even make sense to me. I'm sorry. Did I say that?
Folks, I'm trying to get something on him. Try it.
No. Well, it's a Volvo SUV.
Right,
it's awesome. It's great.
So you're a practical guy.
Well,
you
yes.
work hard. You got the beard. You right. look like the guy who does the Dos Equis commercials. I mean, here you are.
Exactly.
The Rob
Aren't
Rave.
Aren't you so lucky for me to be here?
The man, the myth, the great American, Rob Rave. Thanks for the interview.
Pure bodaciousness. There you go.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.